Life is full of challenges. With an unpredictable economy and just as surprising life changes, you need to be prepared to weather any storm. Elder law and estate planning attorney Kevin Tharp and financial advisor Gary Anderson are available to help you with life's difficult decisions. This is Truth in Planning.
IRAs and trust. I'm Kevin Tharp, elder law and estate planning attorney.
And I'm Gary Anderson, financial advisor, Anderson Advisors.
Gary, I wanted to do this show on this particular topic. I wanted to present this particular topic because lately, in the last few weeks or months, I've gotten a lot of, I would say just about every one of my clients, single or married, has an IRA. Everybody has their IRA invested differently. Many of them are clients that you're helping them manage their IRA that you refer to me. Many of them are not. Many of them have invested in all kinds of different ways. And I don't get involved in that. I don't ask questions about how it's invested. It doesn't matter to me. I ask people, do you have an IRA, for two reasons. Number one, I want them to know that their IRA is the type of asset that is protected if you go into a nursing home. Your IRA is the type of asset where you can't change ownership. You can't share ownership. You can't gift that IRA without there being huge consequences. In last week's show, we talked about choices we have and the consequences for those choices. So I never recommend a person put their IRA in a trust while they're living. Okay. But I often, on a regular basis, recommend that the IRA be a beneficiary. Maybe it's your secondary beneficiary after your spouse. Maybe it's your first beneficiary, even if you have a spouse. Okay. And almost on a regular basis, after I meet with clients and make that titling recommendation, okay, clients will report back to me, or I'll get a phone call from Sam Smith or Jane Doe, financial advisor. I want to talk with you. I'm going to have a meeting. Okay, let's have a phone conversation. So we set up an appointment and we talk on the phone. Now, I don't talk a lot about the details of my clients' documents because that's attorney-client privilege. But we talk in general about, okay, I don't think a trust should be the beneficiary. Now, unfortunately, those conversations between me and the financial advisor are few and far between. Most financial advisors will tell their clients, who will then tell me, my financial advisor says, I shouldn't do this. I can't make an IRA a beneficiary or trust a beneficiary of an IRA. You shouldn't do that. Sometimes they give reasons, but a lot of times they just say, I wouldn't do it. And so let's talk about the connection between an IRA and a trust. Okay. First of all, an IRA, the owner of an IRA should never be anybody else but you and you alone. So if we do have any financial advisors out there that are listening, or any of our clients that are listening, or anybody, prospective clients, Kevin Tharp has never told you, has never told any client, and will not tell you ever that you have to take ownership of your IRA and put it in a trust while you're living. I'm 100% comfortable in making that universal statement because I know I've never done it. I don't think of any, there's no exceptions where I would have ever said anything different. Second of all, IRA has a, as owner, you can name a beneficiary, or plural, beneficiaries. That beneficiary can be a person or persons, people, multiple people. You can have a first beneficiary called a primary. You can have a secondary beneficiary. Okay. That IRA can be an entity, mm-hmm, like a trust. Okay. So what are the consequences of choosing a trust as a beneficiary? Well, first of all, one consequence is nothing's going to change when it comes to the taxation of that IRA. There will be no tax change to you or to your beneficiaries.
You're listening to Truth in Planning. I'm Gary Anderson, financial advisor, and my co-host, Kevin Tharp, estate planning and elder law attorney today, is talking about IRAs and trust. And Kevin, I know this is a point of confusion for a lot of people, and I think the confusion comes from all of the different advisors who weigh into this issue, when really they should, your clients should be depending on your advice and your information to make sure whatever they do with their trust and their IRA is right for them. And Kevin, the one thing I want to remind people of too, if you're listening to this show, or you've maybe missed part of it or missed a show somewhere down the line, we have a podcast. And the podcast goes way back. Historically, we have a lot of podcasts for shows that go back several years, actually. And so any show that you would like to look at is available on podcast. And you can use whatever podcast that you subscribe to, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast, you can listen and just look up Truth in Planning, and you can find the shows and go to list. You'll see a list of the shows, and you can pick what you want to, what subject you want to listen to. So just remember, we do have a podcast.
And Gary, that podcast is full of a lot of information, and I'm pretty sure that if you go back and look at any previous shows, I've talked about this subject before. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to talk about it now. Why? Because I'm getting this feedback from clients and others almost in every single case with every single client who has an IRA. Here's another thing I want you to know about IRAs and trust. Naming your trust as the beneficiary of your IRA will not only change nothing for you, the individual owner, it won't change the investment. It won't limit the investments. It won't change what company you have it with. Nothing changes. Okay. Naming the trust as a beneficiary won't change the taxes to your beneficiaries. Gary, the Secure Act did a lot of positive things. And one of those positive things is, we may not see it as a positive, but really is now, it's a positive. It's limited the choices that beneficiaries have when a person dies and they leave their IRA to those people. And those choices are very simple. If you're a spouse, you can make your deceased spouse's IRA your IRA. It's called a rollover. Okay. Only your spouse has that choice. Okay. Now, if they choose not to do that, they can withdraw every dime out of their deceased spouse's IRA, and they're going to pay taxes on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can choose to pay tax or not pay tax, but only the spouse has that choice. You know, everybody else that aren't spouses have one choice. Take it all at one time, pay the tax, or 10 years following death, you got to take it all out. That's the tax choice. I don't care who you are. Okay. So if you're name a trust as a beneficiary, guess what? If that trust meets or will meet certain conditions, there's five of them, which every one of our trusts do, then there's the same choices. Your beneficiaries, whether your trust beneficiaries or your kids or your grandkids or whoever else, they have that same choice. They can take it all at one time, or they can take it out over a 10-year period of time. But 10 years after your death, that money has to be out of that IRA. So it doesn't change the tax choices. So why would you tell people, Kevin, as an estate planning attorney, to make their trust the beneficiary of their IRA? It's simple. Asset protection. If you leave your beneficiaries an IRA through a trust, and one of those beneficiaries is, God forbid, in the middle of a divorce, or has an addiction problem that maybe they didn't have early on in life, or maybe they have a spendthrift spouse, or maybe they had incurred medical expenses and they're facing these huge medical bills. If you leave a beneficiary an inheritance through a trust, including proceeds of your IRA, that money is protected for them. How do you leave an IRA through a trust? Make your trust a beneficiary. And so IRAs and trust are simply connected by what? Naming the trust as a beneficiary.
Kevin, this is important for a lot of people out there because a whole lot of people listening right now have IRAs. So why don't you give them your information and give you a call?
Gary, the best way and easiest way is through my website, kevintharp.com.
Your retirement accounts. Are you chasing high returns? That's coming up next on Truth and Planning. What's wrong with chasing high returns with your retirement funds? I'm Gary Anderson, financial advisor, Anderson Advisors.
And I'm Kevin Tharp, elder law and estate planning attorney.
Kevin, this is a mistake a lot of people make a lot of times, and it's one of these things that sometimes it's very hard to define what a high yield return is or chasing a high yield return. Typically, what I see with people is you get these ads, you see marketing, you get a marketing call, heaven forbid, and they're talking about some super investment that you can make triple your money in a short period of time on. You can make a lot of money in a short period of time, and you're going to have more money for your retirement if you do this. And they're trying to take advantage, number one, of people who actually are watching the TV or they're on Facebook or they're seeing some ad there and somebody's guaranteeing this huge rate of return. And if I'm a retiree sitting there, I'm thinking, well, you know what? Inflation, all these things that are going on right now, maybe I need to make some more money on my investments. So you actually do this. You actually go after one of these things that somebody's marketing to you, and you put money into a high yield return of some sort. But the problem you have with this is somebody's guaranteeing or offering you something that's going to be triple or quadruple your money within a certain period of time, a short period of time. Usually, that's information that you just kind of want to toss away because if it sounds too good to be true, and I know people hear this all the time, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And the worst thing that can happen to someone in your retirement or close to retirement is start being too aggressive with your investments. Mainly because if you're too aggressive, there's also a good chance that you're going to have a big downside at some point in time. Whether it's a legal investment, an illegal investment, whatever it is, if you're chasing the wrong rate of return for your age, for where you are right now in the retirement picture, you're probably going to have some unintended consequences, that being having less money when you need it the most. Not now, but let's say you just started retirement. It could be 20, 25 years from now before you realize the impact of having lost money in some crazy investment because somebody promised you that you were going to quadruple your money. So this is something that you need to be aware of. And it's very easy to do because you see so many ads out there, so many different promotions that people are trying to sell this to you. Always run something like this by a financial expert. I have people call me all the time and want to know about a certain investment. Gary, what do you think about so-and-so? Well, I can't really give a lot of financial advice to a person who is not a client of mine, but I certainly can give my opinion on particular investments. And even that's valuable because you know, well, Gary doesn't agree with this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, which a lot of times people might do. But keep in mind, if you're chasing something that is guaranteeing a very, very high rate of return in a short period of time, it's probably something you don't need to be doing because there's a good chance that you're going to lose a lot of money. And we don't want that happening to someone approaching or in their retirement. There's always other ways to do things to make a decent amount of return without taking on so much risk at such a critical time in your career. And so make sure that you run this by someone who can give you some expert advice. If you need to talk to us about it, I always encourage you to do so, just because my foremost desire is to make sure that you're doing something here that's good for you. And if I can give you a little bit of information that will help you do something that's going to benefit you down the line, I enjoy doing that. So keep that in mind.
We're talking with Gary Anderson, financial advisor of Anderson Advisors today on Truth and Planning. Gary's been my co-host now for a number of years on this show. And particularly today, Gary is talking about the right thing at the right time. And sometimes it may seem like the right thing to do to pursue this particular choice or pursue this particular investment, but it might not be the right time. It might not be the right time because it's not going to work out for you. And not only is it not going to, it's going to have some immediate consequences, but it worse, it could have long-term consequences.
Well, and one thing, Kevin, too, is people, sometimes people ask me about things like cryptocurrency or something affiliated with cryptocurrency and buying into it. And my first piece of advice there is, okay, just make sure this is money you can afford to lose. I talked about this a little bit last week as far as investing in a way that you are never invest too much more than you can afford to lose. And things like cryptocurrency and things like that, you have to understand that is a very, very volatile investment. I don't say don't invest in it, but what I am saying is make sure you can afford to lose it. Take that money that you were going to take to Cherokee or Murphy to the casino and thinking, okay, this is money I can afford to lose. This time don't go to Cherokee or Murphy. Maybe buy an investment like that with it, but I don't really encourage it at all in any circumstances. But there are some people that do well with it, so I can't discount that fact either. But make sure that you know what you're doing when you do that. Again, ask for advice on that. And don't ask your buddy at the Waffle House, although I love Waffle House, don't get me wrong there. You get a lot of good information there, or it sounds good, but you can get a lot of information that maybe it doesn't apply necessarily to you. So keep all that in mind. It's important to invest in a way for your retirement that ensures that the money's going to get there. Well, Gary, are you saying don't invest in the stock market? No, I am not saying that whatsoever. We have clients, most all of our clients are invested in the market to some degree or another, but then we also have some clients who steer completely away from it, and we want to have more conservative investments for them because they cannot stand the risk factors no matter what. So we want to make sure you're comfortable wherever you are with your investments, but also making sure you're comfortable with how those investments are going to treat you 25 years from now. Because if you're 70 years old right now, even 95 years old is not unattainable. And for you and or your spouse, that's when you find out that a lot of investments and a lot of investment plans don't work. A financial plan, a retirement financial plan, is very important. A lot of people don't have them. You don't have a financial plan because you never really thought you needed one. Yeah, I've got these accounts here and there, and I've amassed a good chunk of money, and so I know I'm good with it, but you might not be because you don't know how that money is going to look, the value of these investments you have years down the line. A retirement plan. If we put together a good retirement plan for someone and for you, then we project what investments will do in pretty much any particular scenario, because we want to get you to the end of your retirement and know you still have money there to be able to take care of yourself, to be able to take care of your spouse, your heirs, making sure that it's going to be there for you, because that's the most important thing. Don't be too risky. And taking on a lot of things that are promised to people out there that sound too good to be true, again, they probably are. Please don't do that without some sort of advice. Run that up the flagpole by someone who is an expert in these areas. We don't mind doing that for people, and this is something that we do quite often. Again, invest in the market, that's a good thing. Having a diversified portfolio works for people. Sometimes you don't want to invest in things that are subject to market risk. Sometimes the balance is having things like bank CDs, things like a fixed annuities or annuities in general may be something that might work for you, but it might not. That might not work either. Make sure that whatever you have works for you. That's the value of putting together a good financial retirement plan, and we love being able to do that for people, and a lot of other financial advisors do as well.
Where's the best place to start for our clients to get that advice and help from you?
Kevin, they can reach us at Anderson Advisors. Call us 888-371-2847.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the connection between your bank accounts and your trust. You're listening to Truth and Planning. We'll be right back. the connection between our bank accounts and a trust. I'm Kevin Tharp, elder law and estate planning attorney.
And I'm Gary Anderson, financial advisor, Anderson Advisors.
Gary, I know I've gone back and I just happened to look actually at our podcast list, and I happened to see a show, and we can go back literally several years. Mm-hmm. And a year and a half ago, maybe around 2 years ago, I did a show and I talked about this topic. But just like the previous segment, when I talked about the connection between IRAs and trust, I think it's really important to talk about this. Why? Because almost every single client that has come to see me in the last year will pop back with questions about, or they want to stop doing the trust, or they put their land in their trust and everything else, but they don't put their bank accounts in a trust. And that's because they're telling me when they go to the bank, they're getting this feedback. So I want to address that. If you're a listener, out there and you're my client, if you're a prospective client and you're thinking about, well, my neighbors did a trust and they're recommending Kevin and I'm thinking about doing that. Or hopefully if you're a person out there that works at a bank or a financial institution, or you're a financial advisor, there are a couple of things that I want to tell you as an estate planning attorney with over 35 years of experience about the connection between a revocable trust and a bank account. And here's the first connection, part of the connection that we start with. A bank account is an asset that has a title connected to it. Now that title can be, how is it owned? Ownership of a bank account can be sole ownership. It can be joint ownership. It can be in the name of a revocable trust. It can be the name of an irrevocable trust. Many people have businesses and they have bank accounts titled in the name of their corporation or LLC. But for most individuals out there that maybe are not running a business, or even if you are running a business, I'm running a business and I have personal accounts that are separate from my business. They are titled separately. How those bank accounts are titled, listeners, has everything to do, will determine everything when a person dies. How that bank account is titled will have everything to do with what happens if the owner of that bank account becomes incapacitated. So let's talk about lifetime concerns when it comes to bank accounts. And the biggest lifetime concern that most people have is not getting sued in a lawsuit, and probably not even a divorce. The most likely risk that most of us are going to face, especially as we get older, is incapacity. And that incapacity, Gary, can be at different levels. It can be early stages of dementia, for example, or it can be an extreme level of incapacity like my mother, who could not do anything, could not speak, could not lift her head out of bed, could not feed herself, couldn't do anything, or somewhere in between. The number one benefit, you know you're prepared when it comes to incapacity, if there is access. And that's why we like using a revocable trust. That's why we recommend our clients, if they can, title their checking accounts, at least their checking accounts, in the name of their trust while they're living. Now, Gary, when it's a revocable trust, they will not give up ownership. If you're out there listening, do not think that all trusts are irrevocable. There are a lot of bankers, financial advisors, and listeners out there that when the word trust comes up, they automatically think irrevocable. And not all trusts are irrevocable. Many of them are revocable, at least the ones that I prepare for my clients while they're living. Why is that important? Because you don't give up ownership with the revocable trust. And you know what goes along with keeping ownership, Gary? Access. You can get to your stuff.
You're listening to Truth in Planning. I'm Gary Anderson, financial advisor. My co-host today, Kevin Tharp, is talking about the connection between IRAs and trust. And Kevin, I think you're doing a very, very good job of giving people clarification as to how you can link a trust to your IRA.
Or a bank account.
Or a bank account. Anything you want to do there, but there's a way to do it, a right way to do it, and a wrong way to do it.
And the reason we like linking your bank accounts to a trust, because the way you link your IRA, Gary, as we talked about in the previous segment, is you make your trust the beneficiary of that IRA. You can't put that IRA in your trust while you're living, but you can put a bank account in your trust while you're living. Okay? In fact, we recommend that form of titling, at least on your checking account. Why? Because of access. Every single week, we get a call from somebody who cannot get access to a bank account to help their loved one who is incapacitated. Every single client that comes in that is over the age of 55 is concerned about, I want somebody to be able to pay my bills if I can't pay my bills. I want somebody to have access. Now, a lot of times people at the bank will tell you, well, you don't need to do a trust. In fact, I'm hearing that a lot lately. You don't need to do a trust. Just put your child's name on your bank account, and that will give them access. Well, Gary, here's what I can tell you with 100% certainty. If you put your child's name on that bank account as owner, you're giving up ownership. There are penalties. There are legal consequences for titling your asset that way. And if you're a banker, or if your banker is the one that's telling you to do that, they are not accountable for the legal consequences of giving you that advice. If I put my daughter's name on my bank account and my daughter, presuming that she's married, gets a divorce, can have her divorcing spouse reach my bank account? Yep. If I have spent money on a legal document, trust or will, and I have five beneficiaries, and I go put one child's name on that bank account and I die, that advice, put your child's name on your bank account, has negated my will, because my bank account will not be split five ways. It will go one way. Oh, well, my son and daughter will know what to do with it. And maybe that's true. But I've been doing this for over 35 years, and I can tell you the legal consequences of death and money are far different. And the person at the bank that's telling you to do that is not accountable for those legal consequences. So if you're at a bank and you're saying, hey, Kevin set up a trust and he said, put my checking account in the name of my trust. I've had recently clients that have gotten feedback from the bank. You don't need to do that. Just put your kid's name on your bank account or make them signers. Okay, so what happens if you title it that way? What happens if you make your child a signer rather than putting your bank account in the name of your trust? And you die. Your signing authority ends. And that bank account being titled solely in your name means the bank will shut down access when you die until your family goes through probate. Maybe they need access to that bank account to take care of your funeral or pay your funeral or other things right after your death. There will be a waiting period. They will shut down that account based on how it's titled, and they are not accountable for the cost or consequences of going through probate, even though they told your loved one to title the bank account that causes you to go through probate. So title it in a trust. You'll have access. You can authorize others to have access as a backup to you if you become incapacitated. You'll keep ownership, and when you die, they will not have to go through probate to continue that access. That's why we recommend titling things in the name of a trust. That's the connection between a bank account and a trust. Keep ownership. You have access, others have access, and there is probate avoidance. There's no waiting to get access after you die.
Kevin, if somebody wants to talk to you about this, how do they get in touch with you?
Gary, my website, kevintharp.com.
Why risk it if you already have enough? That's coming up next on Truth in Planning. Why risk your money if you already have enough? I'm Gary Anderson, financial advisor, Anderson Advisors.
And I'm Kevin Tharp, elder law and estate planning attorney. Gary recently had a client that was, you know, in their later stages, in their mid-80s, and they were told about, hey, I could get, you know, a particular amount of return. And so they're looking at chasing that return. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really they were in a good position where they had enough to take care of them in their current situation. And so that was kind of my question to that client. I said, you know what? Go see Gary. But I'm sure he's probably going to ask you, why risk all of this if you got enough?
And Kevin, this is a two-edged sword, and it really is specific to whomever you are. My advice to one person about this is certainly not the advice I might give another person, because everybody, like you always say, everybody's circumstances are different. Therefore, the planning that we need to do for you is going to be different than your next-door neighbor or your cousin or your uncle or friend or whoever it is. So keep in mind, anytime you ever hear anybody say, okay, yeah, my advisor made me so and so much, you know, the last 6 months, how did your advisor do, things like that. You get these conversations all the time. And my advice to that is, well, take all this for with a grain of salt, because you don't know what that particular individual circumstances or position is, and you don't know how much they're telling the truth anyway. So, yes, sometimes people take on more risk to meet their objectives than they need to, their financial objectives. And you see more of this when people are retired than any other age group. I see it sometimes when somebody is really barely having trouble making ends meet. They've got their retirement income, and maybe that just consists of their IRA or their Social Security. And if they really think about this, a lot of times you don't want to risk too much knowing that it's going to jeopardize you further down the line, but you may just be having an issue where you've got to meet objectives now and you're concerned about it. So you decide, well, I'm going to invest a little more risky than maybe I should have, and certainly more risky even outside of my comfort level, because I think the markets are good right now. It's going to be good for a certain amount of time, and nobody can ever predict that. Because once you do that, once you decide to take on more risk to meet some financial objectives, that's the very time that something's going to happen and drive the market values down and the market value of whatever this investment you have down. And now you're in worse shape than you were, thinking that you were going to make something pretty quick out of an investment, and you're not able to do it because the investment went the wrong way. And these are perfectly legitimate investments. Things that you have invested in the market are legitimate investments for the most part. But you still have risk involved, and those risks can impact you greatly if what you have going on happens at the wrong time. And what you have going on is, if it's invested aggressively, too aggressively, you're going to have an issue when you need that money and all of a sudden it's worth 20 or 30% less than you anticipated it to be. So that's one situation there, and if that's your specific situation, I really invite you to talk to us or any advisor to make sure that you're taking on the right amount of risk to meet your objectives, but not too much risk to be out of the amount of money you need to even meet your objectives. So this is important. And so what we try to do when we do put together a financial plan, yes, you can have investments that are at risk, that are volatile, but the degree of volatility that you have there is what we need to really look at. That degree of volatility can determine whether you're going to have a successful retirement or not. That's why you have a financial plan. That's why we like to put together a financial plan for our retirees, to make sure that they know or have a very, very good idea of what their financial picture is going to look like 10, 15, 20, 30 years now from now or more. That's the value of the financial plan. When we look at other people, and I'll talk about this in a second, some people have so much money they don't need to risk it, and they still do. Why would someone do that?
We're talking about today, why risk it when you have enough? And I'm talking with Gary Anderson of Anderson Advisors. Gary's the co-host with me of Truth and Planning. I know we've talked about this subject a lot, especially lately. And we've talked about it on previous shows. And so I know that a lot of times our listeners are like, I'd like to hear more information, but I got in the car at the tail end of this segment. Or I'd like to hear, you know, some more about this and listen to previous segments. Well, fortunately, you can do so by listening to our podcast called Truth and Planning. Just go to your favorite podcast site, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Put in Truth and Planning, and you'll see all of our previous podcasts going back to our initial podcast on our initial show. You'll see that I sound a lot younger on that podcast, of course, when you start listening to it. And I just get younger as it goes along. But Gary, I kind of, in my mind, have been summarizing what you've been talking about. And like the previous segment, make sure you do the right thing at the right time. Let's also make sure we don't do the wrong thing at the worst time. Because we can chase this magic, you know, thing and get this great rate of return, but it may not be at the risk of losing our assets.
Exactly.
Or I've seen people that are things that not only happen in the market, but things happen to them outside of the market. The market may be up, but their circumstances change, like their health changes, and now all of a sudden they start needing to draw more of this money, and it can erase some of the gains that you had this year, last year, whatever.
Well, that's a good point, Kevin. Circumstances change. So if you're invested aggressively and you think I'm good being able to do that just because I have all this money based on the way my life is right at this moment, we know, you and I know, we've had a personal experience with families and also our clients. Things happen, and they happen all the time. And you have to be prepared for not only when things are good, the good times, but also the bad times. That's why a long-term financial plan, retirement plan, is so important to address those things. Crank those things into the plan. If they never happen, that's more money you're going to be able to use for something else. But make sure that circumstances are a part of your overall plan, because people are going to be subject to circumstances. They always will. That's life. That's the way it is. One thing that I've seen recently on several occasions, actually, and we have actually clients in this situation. Kevin, if I'm 90 years old and I've got $6 million, and I've got the $6 million invested in the market, why do I want to risk that money? What's my objective by making more and more money when I'm 90-something years old, knowing that I'm never going to outlive that $5 or $6 million? And there's a lot more of this that goes on out there than people even believe. Why am I doing that? Well, sometimes if you have enough, you can have a lot at risk, because there's a good chance you might really, truly not ever need that money. We have clients that do that. What they're thinking about is leaving money to their heirs. So we actually are investing with some people that age, or investing for them in a way that's going to be beneficial to their heirs, who are naturally a lot younger than they are. So they're investing for someone younger than they are, another generation younger. That makes sense in that particular case, because we know, again, over time, markets go up. And it doesn't really matter what the world circumstances are or anything else at this point in time. Over time, we know historically markets go up. So if I have all this money and I'm investing knowing I'm never going to need it, but I'm investing for my kids and my grandkids' generation, that makes sense. But let's evaluate that. Let's just not take it for granted. Let's evaluate it. Make sure you put together a plan that addresses that, both on the financial side, Kevin, and the estate planning side.
And you can get all of this coordinated together, and a good first step is to reach out to Gary Anderson. Gary, how can our listeners do that?
Kevin, they can reach us at Anderson Advisors, 888-371-2847.
Investment advisory services are offered through Anderson Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Anderson Advisors is an independent financial services firm that helps people create retirement strategies using a variety of insurance and investment products. Investments involves risk, including the potential for loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Any reference to protection, safety, and lifetime income generally refers to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the strength and paying capabilities of the insurance carrier. This show is intended for informational and educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. You should consult with a financial advisor to help determine the best options for your particular circumstances. No statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not endorsed by the United States government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions construed herein presented by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable. Completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Gary Anderson nor Anderson Advisors is affiliated with attorney J. Kevin Tharp or any guests on this show.